Barry, of course, was a minor league pitcher with the White Sox, also a major league pitcher. In fact, had a very long resume. And before we get into your days with Michael Jordan, I know you're coaching baseball. How is that going? Where are you located? And just bring us up to date on that.
We're up in Alexander City, coaches Central Alabama Community College, which is right there by Lake Martin. Been here for 4 years. You know, obviously we had our season cut short because of the virus. So we've been doing, we're right in the middle of the pack right now. When we took over, it was kind of dismantled, but I enjoy every day. I love teaching at the school and, back coaching again and being around baseball. So it's always fun.
You know, Larry, it has been a while. I know we used to do quite a few interviews when you were in the major leagues. And also, I remember talking to you a while back when Michael Jordan, this goes back to the 90s, joined Birmingham. Now, we've been following up. Yesterday, we had Kerry Valerie on with us, who was, I think, a teammate of yours when you were with Birmingham. Could you – I want to get your thoughts when Jordan joined Birmingham, how you felt about it.
I mean, at first it was kind of like – I just thought it was kind of, why is he doing this? He's a great basketball player, and now he's going to come play baseball and hasn't played it since he was in, I think it was Little League or something, and watching it now, you kind of see the perspective of, why he did it and have a better understanding of it. But at the same time, I understand, what he was trying to do and, why he did it. But at the same time, it was just kind of it was kind of a circus. Let's put it that way. So, it was a fun year and also a hectic year at the same time. But, again, looking back, it was something to remember, always remember.
Let me say this, because if I recall correctly, Larry, correct me if I'm wrong, you really didn't care for this in the beginning, back when. So have you kind of changed your – it seems like you've changed a little bit since the documentary has come out, or maybe even before that you would welcome as a teammate, whereas I think back then you really didn't?
You get older, so you kind of thought a little bit, I guess. But at the same time, I still didn't respect it. And to this day, I just think that – if you look at it, again, it kind of, you're taking someone's position that has been doing this his whole life, a kid who's worked his butt off through high school and college, and then he gets drafted, he's got a chance to go to AA, and then he's got to go back down to A ball, and then you got a guy who's just going to quit basketball and play baseball, because he wanted to play it, and didn't have to go through the same trials and tribulations that we had to go through. At this day, I don't think that's fair, but at the same time, I don't own the team, and I'm not Michael Jordan. Again, Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. So, if he's going to do something like he says in the documentary, he's going to do it. And, I can respect that, what he went through and what he's done, I still don't think he earned that right to do that. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Was he, in your opinion, Larry, was he good enough to play baseball for the Birmingham Barons?
At first, no. I didn't think so. He went through, and he's got great ability, and he's a good athlete. I would never take that away from him. But, baseball, it's just hard to pick up. And I watched what Barnett and Terry Francona said on there and stuff, and I just disagree. You can give a guy 1,500 at-bats and – think he can play in the major leagues. There's a big difference between double-A pitching, and even Arizona Fall League pitching. These are still college-based kids that are pitching 2-3 years after they've played, and then you're going to face full-fledged major league pitching. Nah, I just don't see it. You can give him 2,000 at-bats. Now, I think he would have made the major league team on his name. I think that would have happened because, Reserve was all about selling tickets, and if you look at Major League Baseball after the strike, it wasn't a whole lot of people coming to the park. I'm sorry, that was before the strike. Well, after the strike, if he had come back after the strike, instead of going to play basketball, I think Comiskey Park would have been sold out every night.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. Let me ask you this. Mark and I had trouble kind of deciphering while watching the documentary. Did he ever learn to hit the curveball?
Well, Mark would know better than me, but if you bet 202, I don't think so. You know, and again, what he did that year, you know, looking at it, you know, so you say that was in 94. So, you know, 20 years, 25 years, you know, what he did and how he progressed, you know, that he did. I think he did a pretty good job. Again, though, you know, that's just one season, you know, and again, you know, he would have moved up. Let's put it this way. Tim Tebow tried it, you know, and look at him. He got the AAA and it struggles. And again, each level is different, you know, and I think, again, when you're facing better pitching, like in the big leagues, better breaking balls, better fastballs, better location, you know, and if you watch the documentary, yeah, he had an awesome April pump, getting pumped in fastballs, and they start throwing changeups and curveballs. Well, what do you think is going to happen when he gets to the big leagues? You know, and their breaking balls and their changeups and their splits and their cutters are twice as good as the guys in Double A. You know, I don't think he would have been an everyday player. You know, and he's very athletic again. You know, I'm not going to never take that away from him. You know, and he's an awesome basketball player. You know, watching the video and stuff, you know, I can remember times where we had pickup basketball games in Birmingham, you know, and you can see in practice the same thing, the trash talking, you know, and that's the one thing that I did on the bus. You know, when he said that guys treat him like, you know, any other guy, yeah, there was a couple of them, and I was one of them.
What'd you do? Like, what? Baseball guys are notorious for having fun at their teammates' expenses.
You know, he would talk, you know, they would play cards and stuff or, you know, whatever him and Tito would play. And he would talk basketball and stuff. And, you know, we'd give him crap about the Celtics because I grew up in Boston, so I was a huge Celtics fan. And, you know, we used to give him crap about Bird. And it was one thing I said to him that really kind of upset him was, he's like, yeah, I pumped 63 against the Celtics. I said, yeah, you know, the difference between you and Bird is Bird made everybody around him better, and you were just a ball hog. And, oh, he got so upset. So, you know, and I gave him crap, and it was just all good jibbing. And, you know, he's a good human being, you know, and really watching, you know, how he handled his father's death. And, you know, I think that was probably the main reason why he went and played baseball. He was just tired of all the BS. And he just had to get away. And again, you know, my question is, and I understand now why he went to baseball, but again, it's just, and you know, Lee, if it was anybody else, I mean, you wouldn't be going to play in Double A.
Not at all. You'd start rookie ball. Right. Hey, let me ask you something. You know how you've been watching the documentary, how it didn't take much for Jordan to pick up on something and use that as motivation. So with your comments, and you played pickup basketball, I assume, against him. Did he take it out on you in the court?
Nah. I was a shooter. I would always tell him, I'd just be like, Bird. I'd sit on the outside, and he would say, like, you can't play defense. And I said, okay, I'm just going to shoot the rock. But, you know, again, when I saw him play, and the thoughts through my head was, this is going to be a one-year thing, and he's going to go back. You know, and I always said that. I think this was just a vacation. Kind of like, If you watch the documentary when Rodman had to get away for 48 hours,
right?
This was Jordan having to get away for a year or two, you know. And again, he was really close to his dad, you know. And that's tough, you know, when you lose a parent. I've been blessed. I have both my parents, and same thing with my wife, you know. And you know, Coach Patterson. But again, it's tough. And if you're, you know, the way he explained it is, you know, his dad was his best friend, and you know, he took it hard. So I think his best way was, you know, the media was riding him, you know, and I think the gambling thing caught up with him a little bit. And it just was kind of like a vicious cycle that they pushed him out. And with his dad passing, I really believe that, you know, baseball was an outlet for him. And you know what? At first, you know, back as a 20-something-year-old kid, you know, you have some animosity. And now as I'm older, you kind of understand it. You know, you get it. But still, it doesn't make it right.
Larry, you impressed me as a very intense competitor in your own right. Did you ever get involved in card games with them?
No, we weren't allowed to. We couldn't play cards with them, and we couldn't golf with them.
Why?
Tito's thing.
Why? Who said
that? Was Tito? That was Tito's rule.
You mean Terry?
Tito's rule.
Francona?
Yeah, Tito's rule was you couldn't play cards on the bus with him, you know, because he, when they say gamble, you know, they gamble. And you know, everyone asked me the story about, I can remember when we were in Memphis, we had a day game. So we're all going to go to the casino, you know, we all went to Tunica, Mississippi. And I can remember next day was a night game. So, you know, we were out pretty late, probably 3 in the morning. And, you know, we're playing, you know, he's playing 5,000 a hand, 10,000 a hand. And, you know, probably blew through many thousand dollars and won it back. And then we want to keep playing. He's like, well, I'm ready to go. It's late. I'm tired. I'm ready to go. And we're like, no, come on. We want to stay. And he threw us $1,000 chip. And we're like, you know, and again, this is 94. We're making, I don't know, I was making $1,250 a month. And so when he said it, I snatched it. I said, all right, let's go. And a bunch of other guys were like, okay. And so that was his way of, you know, and I think a lot of it was release, you know. I think he used it as release. And he's very competitive. He is. He always was. And you know, in the documentary, it talks about how hard he worked and you know, the hours he put in, and I understand that 100%. You know, it's baseball is a time consuming and you know, playing with Major League Baseball players, they've done the same thing, but again, they've also done it their whole life.
Larry, do you think that, as you pointed out, you gave it to Michael Jordan, you trash talked him? Do you think he had more respect for you than perhaps he had for other players? Because that was what was drawn out.
You have to ask him. I don't know. You know, and I think the last time I saw him was in 96 when I was in the big leagues, and he came in, and he saw me and said, hey, what's up, Larry? And I said, hey, Mike. And that was it. That was the last time I saw him. But, you know, watching the documentary and, you know, understanding how competitive he is, and I was the same thing. You know, when I'm on the golf course and if I'm playing someone or we're playing together, even when I'm playing my son, you know, Toby, you know, who played minor league ball, and we're very competitive, and we want to beat each other on the golf course. And let's put it this way. My son beat me for the first time in probably 5-6 years, last Father's Day. So if that's not competitive, you know, and I'd trash talk in there, and he'd always get mad. Why are you always trash talking? And it was something that we just grew up doing, you know, and Michael's the same way.
So you two are very, very much alike then.
Yeah, a little bit. Except for he's a billionaire, and you know, but.
And apparently he can play defense.
Yes, he can. He can play defense.
Yeah.
But he can't hit a slider.
Did he ever?
I can throw a slider.
When you were pitching, and you pitched a lot of games for the Barons, I looked at your record. Did he ever tick you off on the field with something he did or didn't do?
Oh. You had to bring that up. So opening day, Jordan's with us. I'm opening day pitcher. And I can remember the first play of the game, line drive to right field, Michael Jordan. And it's an easy, just stay where you are and catch it. And he comes running in and it goes right over his head for a triple. That was the first play of the game. So we're already down, you know, 1-0. But it was, that was the thing he had to deal with. And I wouldn't say I had a hard time dealing with it, but it stunk. I mean, it was, you know, there's times where they moved them from right to left. Guys would hit the ball to him. They wouldn't stop running. They'd go all the way to second because they knew that his throws were inaccurate. They knew he was going to throw lollipops in. But, you know, again, he got better. You know, I'd say he got better. And I wouldn't say his defense got, you know, they say he made 11 errors. You know, well, that's what the stats say. But, again, there's some errors that he made that he probably didn't even touch the ball.
Did he ever apologize to the team for crappy play?
You know what? Probably. I don't remember. I was just so PO'd that, you know, if there's anybody else out there, that it gets caught. And that's, you know, that's people understand. You know, that's double A. The ball comes in faster. You know, the ball goes out faster. Everything's faster. You know, the one thing he did well and he picked up really fast was the base running. You know, his speed and everything, how he got down line. And then again, you know, it's an attribute to his work ethic. Is he ran out every ball, and that to me, I was impressed with that. You know, that's one thing I took away is like, hey, this guy, he earned my respect at the end. You know, again, it doesn't mean I agree with it, you know, what he did. But again, was it good for baseball? Sure, because the strike was going on. You know, it gave, kind of like now, you know, we're watching KBO from Korea. I watched the whole game the other day, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I can't wait till baseball gets on, you know, comes on TV. And I think at that time, there was no Major League Baseball. You know, they were talking about, you know, guys crossing over, and, you know, and you get to watch Michael Jordan play baseball. And it was a circus. I mean, every stadium was sold out. Some stadiums were modified to add more people, which, you know, I thought was ridiculous. But at the same time, you know, he was giving a spark to the minor leagues, and it gave ESPN something to show on television.
Larry, do you think this deal with the owners gets passed by the Players Association today to get baseball back in July? With the
From what I'm hearing, and I got some friends still in baseball, I think it's going to happen. I think 99. There's always going to be that one percenter, but I think 99% of the guys, they want to get back and play. And I think it's going to be fun. You know, it's going to be a shortened year. It's half a year. You know, so there's no All-Star game, which is going to be a first. But at the same time, it's going to be, you know, I think 81 or 82 games, and it's going to add teams to the playoffs. So I think it's going to be awesome. And I think it's going to, you know, they're going to play at certain parks, but I don't think the fans are going to be able to come back until, you know, maybe late July, early August, and depending on how they do it. But, you know, I think they're following the Korean model, you know, because of how they handled the virus. And, you know, eventually I'm hearing on their and reading, you know, what they're talking about, that, you know, the fans will eventually come, but that they're going to wait till it gets hotter. And I think they'll, you know, we'll follow the same model. They'll kind of watch it and make sure that, you know, that the virus doesn't spike. And it's always the best interest of the players, but also the fans. You know, you got to make sure that they're going to come in healthy and leave healthy at the same time.
Larry, quickly, I'm curious. So would it be accurate to say that you felt like maybe The Last Dance didn't accurately portray Jordan's baseball run? Is that accurate?
You know, I could plead the fifth, but at the same time, you know, again, there's people that like that he did it, and there's people that didn't. And I'm in the middle. You know, I understand. Now I understand why he did it. You know, watching this show is kind of, you know, enlighten me a little bit, you know, on the reason why, you know, and his special assistant, George. I knew George well. You know, I hung out with him. I talked to him, you know, and he used to tell me all the time, you know, he's doing this for his dad. And I didn't believe it at first. You know, I was like, oh, whatever, you know. And now I see it. But, you know, again, some people agree with it, some people don't. You know, and now you're watching it and you're kind of like, wow. You know, I'm sure his kids, because his kids were young back then. I mean, they were really young. So now they're watching it, and, you know,
did we lose him?
You know, oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You know, my perspective on it, you know, listening to Terry and Barney say it, I just don't agree with that. You know, them saying that if he had 1,000, 1,500, you know, and, you know, Terry was a major league player, Barney's a major league pitching coach, you know, and they're going off his work ethic. I just don't think that they're giving Major League Baseball enough respect to say that a guy could just walk off the street and come in and play. You know, Tim Tebow's tried it, and he's a pretty good athlete too, and he's strong, you know, and I'm not saying Tim Tebow's a better athlete than Jordan, but, you know, people have tried and they failed. And I'm not saying, but, you know, again, it's one of those things we'll never know.
Larry, great stuff, man. We got to run. We could do this all day, but we'll have to do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely.